I sure have enjoyed the music today. What about you? All right. Wow. I didn't give any amens off of that one. There we go. That sounded a little better. All right. I thought I was going to have to roll my own amens. We'll never get out of here if we have to do that. Y'all be here all day. All right. Thank you for praying for me. James chapter number 1 in your Bibles. We're moving toward maturity. God wants to move every believer toward another level of spiritual maturity in their life. And as you go through the book of James, he's going to deal with all kinds of different subjects to help us to be the person that God wants us to be. And we find that. Find in your Bibles, James chapter number 1 and verse number 19. I appreciate your prayers. As I'll have a chemotherapy treatment tomorrow. And then a week from Tuesday, they will fix the aneurysm that formed back during the summer when I had the flare-up with the disease that I have. So I appreciate your prayers. Thank you for that. And we'll be mentioning other folk that have surgeries coming up a little bit later tonight as well as we have our evening service. Don't forget, hey, tonight, 6 o'clock, we're in the future unveiled in the book of the Revelation. We're in chapter 14. You don't want to miss Sunday night. Our teenagers will be singing tonight, and they're doing the choir music and all of that. Always a blessing. By now, you should have found your place, James chapter number 1. And let's begin reading verse number 19. If you don't have the Bible, it'll be up on the screen for you. Notice the Bible says in verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath," or to become angry. Notice what he says, verse 20. "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." I want to talk to you this morning about taming your temper. Taming your temper. Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Father, thank you that you give us truth in your word to help us. Lord, to grow us, to mature us as your children. Lord, not only do you teach us how we can be saved and be right with you in the sense of knowing that our sins are forgiven and heaven's our home, but Lord, you teach us how to live in the here and now. How to be effective in serving you and living successfully. You want to mature us. And Father, I pray that we would grow in your grace this morning, especially in this very serious matter of our temper, our anger. And God, I'm thankful that you teach us how that we can have victory, as we sang earlier, victory in Jesus, how we can have victory in Jesus over this matter that people struggle with so often in their lives. And Father, we pray if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, that before the service is out, they'll come to know you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, there was a little girl doing her homework, and she asked her dad to explain to her the difference between anger and aggravation. And he said, "Oh, that's easy." He said, "Let me just demonstrate it. Let me show you." So he walked over to the telephone and dialed a number, and a man answered the phone, and they're on the other end, and the dad of the girl said, "Hello, is George there?" And the man answered and said to him, "Well, you know what? There's no one here named George." And he said, "You've got the wrong number." And the man hung up. Well, the dad, he just dialed the number again and said, "Hello, is George there?" And this time the man said, "I told you a minute ago there's no one here by the name of George." And he hung up. The dad dialed it again. And again he asked, "Hello, is George there?" And to this the man exploded. He said, "Listen, buddy, I told you before, and I'm not going to tell you again, there's no George here, and you better not call my number again." And he hung up. Dad looked at his little girl and he said, "Honey, that's anger." He said, "Now let me show you aggravation." So the dad dialed the number again and said, "Hello, this is George. Has anybody called for me?" So anyway, it's interesting that after dealing with the subject of temptation, it's not without significance that the very next subject that James deals with and addresses is this issue that, if we're honest, probably every one of us struggles or have struggled with at some time or the other in our lives. And it's the issue or the problem of anger. As a matter of fact, somebody said, "Of all bad things with which mankind is cursed, their own bad tempers are surely the worst." The Bible has a lot to say about this matter of anger. I'm going to give you some verses. You just jot them down. We're not going to turn to them. Proverbs 14:17, the Bible said, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Proverbs 29:22, the Bible said, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. You see, the Bible teaches us that anger leads to more and greater sin. Proverbs 22 and verse 24 said, "Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go." God warns us about this matter of anger in our temper. You know what? I'm glad today that God has the answer for it, aren't you? And that our temper can be tamed. And I want to teach you some truths today out of some other passages in the book of James to help us with this matter of dealing with our anger and with our temper. Number one, I want to give you the description of sinful anger. The description of sinful anger. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to leave James for just a moment, and we're going to go to the book of Ephesians. Will you find in your Bible Ephesians chapter number 4? And here we find that God gives us a thorough description of this thing that we call sinful anger, all right? And we'll look at it. Ephesians chapter number 4, and you bear with me, just like you, I'm battling some hoarseness and stuff like that, and so I'll do the best I can to be as clear as I can this morning. Look, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 26. Now I want you to get something. Do you know that not all anger is sinful? It's not. Do you realize that anger is a God-given emotion to move us to solve problems, okay? But the problem is that we're sinners. And we're just like any other God-given emotion, we can use that emotion in a sinful way. Look, if you would, verse number 26 of Ephesians 4. The Bible said, "Be ye angry and sin not." So God says it's possible to get angry about something and yet not sin. You know what we call that? We call that righteous anger, righteous indignation. And 18 times you read in the Old Testament that God got angry. He got mad at something, got angry at something. You find the anger of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament when He cleansed the temple and He upsetting the money changers and the high priest's racketeering ring and Jesus burned with a righteous indignation. He got angry, but He didn't sin because He sinned less. Now, you know what? There are some things that, as a child of God, we ought to get angry about. Do you know that? There are some things that ought to get our dander up. How about the atrocities of sin? Do you realize that taking a life in the womb and this matter of abortion in our land, we ought to get upset about that. We ought to get upset about the ravages of alcohol and liquor and all of that and what it does and how it impacts people's lives. I'm just telling you, we ought to get upset about that. Dr. R.G. Lee, a great preacher of the past, somebody asked him, he said, "Dr. Lee, how many degrees do you have?" And he replied, "Well," he said, "it depends on what I'm preaching on." He said, "If it's whiskey, I'm 104 in the shade." And so, listen, there's some things we ought to get upset about. We ought to get upset about the murder and the rape and the drugs and the pornography and the human trafficking and the social evils in our land. Let me tell you what, we ought to get upset about sin, amen? We ought to. We ought to get upset when somebody disparages the Word of God and casts off on the Bible and the deity of Christ and the blood atonement and the virgin birth. Hey, that ought to get us upset because there's some things that we ought to stand for and have a passion about. But you know what the reality of it is? Righteous indignation is usually not the problem we have. That's found in verse number 31 of our text. Look down if you would there. He said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Did you know that God's telling us that there is some things we ought to be angry about and get angry about? And in the midst of it, we ought to have righteous indignation about it. But that's usually not what we're dealing with. Notice back in verse 26, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil." Do you know what Satan wants to do? He wants to take anger and make it sinful in your life and in my life. And he begins to describe it. Let's go through verse 31. Let's understand what these kinds of anger are. First of all, he talks about bitterness. That is a smoldering resentment that leads to harsh feelings and an unwillingness to forgive. You see, I'm afraid if we're not careful, the seeds of hurt get sown in our hearts. And if we don't deal with it, we allow that to fester. And it turns into bitterness. And here's what happens. It defiles us and everything around us. You see, if we're not careful, bitterness will get planted in our hearts when we feel that we've been wronged. And let me just tell you something. Bitterness doesn't hurt anybody but you. Wrath. That is what we call the slow burn. I believe in every marriage, when I'm preaching on marriage and I deal with the subject, there's two kinds of people in every marriage. This is the first one. This is the clamor upper. This is the person that when they get angry, they internalize it. They clam up and it's an anger that's internalized. And let me give you an illustration. You're riding down the road and your wife is upset with you and she's sort of clammed up and she's looking out the window and miles have went and you hadn't heard a word from her. And you say, "Honey, what's wrong?" "Nothing." "Now, honey, I know there's something must be wrong. You hadn't talked to me in 20 miles. "Well, if you don't know, I'm not telling you." That's the clamor upper. All right? There are people that internalize their anger. Okay? And it builds on the inside of them and it smolders there. All right? And so God talks about the person who becomes bitter, the person who has that slow burn. And then notice He talks about in verse number 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger." That's the blower upper. You know what I said? There's two kinds in every marriage. There's usually... Can you imagine if you got two clamor uppers in the same marriage? They don't talk for years. I mean, thankfully God lets out opposites attract, right? And usually got somebody that blows up. I mean, man, they just spew out like Mount Vesuvius. I mean, it all comes out. You know? Now here's the difference between the blower upper and the clamor upper, okay? The clamor upper, it takes them a while to get over it. The blower upper, I mean, they just explode and they're fine. You know? And they're ready to make up and everything. And they're saying, "Honey, let's kiss and make up." And you're saying, "Don't you touch me." You see what you follow? What you, is that sort of describing it for everybody? You getting it? All right? It's that anger that we show. We begin to burn and eyes get narrow, face turns red, veins pop out and out it comes. You know what I'm saying? And then clamor, that's the loud quarreling and angry bickering and shouting down the opponent. That's when we begin to raise our voice and start yelling. Evil speaking has to do in our text where He says, "Let all wrath and all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor." Do you notice how many times the Holy Spirit uses the word "and" in this verse? Do you realize that is a figure of speech and sentence that is designed to slow us down so that we will look at each one of these words and realize that at some time or another, all of us have experienced and had an issue with all the different kinds of anger, hadn't we? And He said, "In clamor." That's when we begin to raise our voice and start yelling. Then He says, "And evil speaking." That's insulting. That's slanderous, abusive speech. That's when we begin talking about the other person and saying harsh and critical things. That's when we begin to cut down our mates or cut down the person on the job or we say harsh things toward them that are hurtful and injurious and critical and harsh. The person that said, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," really didn't know what they were talking about. Because sometimes words leave greater scars than if they'd have been slapped. And then malice. Malice is a desire to injure another person, to hurt them and make them feel the pain and the hurt and the insult that they caused you to feel. It's a desire to pay you back, to get even. There was a lady who was attending a wife that was attending a ladies' conference, and the lady was talking about wives and relationships and stuff like that. And she said, how many of you ladies here at the conference want to mother your husband?" And of course, no hands went up. And suddenly, way back in the back, one lady's hand went up, and she said, "Ma'am, are you telling me you want to mother your husband?" And she said, "Oh, I thought you said smother." Put her hand back down. Malice is the desire to make somebody hurt like they hurt you. To make them feel like you feel. To get you back. Did you see the progression? Bitterness leads to wrath, wrath to anger, anger to clamor, clamor to evil speaking to malice. Now, you know, I've been preaching on this right here and describing for about the last 6 or 7 minutes about sinful anger, but you know as well as I do that you can go from bitterness all the way to malice as quick as a Porsche can go from 0 to 60. It doesn't take us long to get from one end to the other. When we let anger have its course in our lives, and let me just tell you, he who angers you conquers you. Because they just got in control of your life. See, that's the description of sinful anger. But I want you to notice, secondly, the danger of sinful anger. We're going to stay in our text. Look, if you would, verse number 27 of Ephesians chapter number 4. Would you look there? Notice the Bible says, "Neither give place to the devil." Do you realize that anger is one letter short of danger? Anger is an acid, someone said, that can do more to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything on which it is poured. I'll tell you what sinful anger will do. Number one, it'll gladden the devil. It'll gladden the devil. That word where he says, neither give place to the devil, means to give an opportunity or a foothold. When you and I are tempted with sinful anger and we give in to that emotion, it gives opportunity for our adversary to work destructive devices in our lives. The danger of anger is that the devil will get a foothold in our life. It'll give him the opportunity to work in our life. And the Bible calls it a stronghold. And if we're not careful, now listen, we will become so accustomed to flying off the handle, to giving into our anger, to being bitter, to be clamorous or injurious, and let anger have its way in our lives, that we excuse it. Here's what we say. Well, you know, that's just the way my family is. Or that's just the way I am. Well, you know what? That's just who I am, and if you don't like it, you just deal with it. Can I help you with something? That may be what you are by nature. But if you're a born-again child of God, that's not what you're supposed to be in your nature. Amen. You remember what Jesus, what the Bible says? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Right. That may be what I am in my own sinfulness, but that's not how I'm supposed to remain as a child of God. There is no excuse for me to give vent to this thing called anger in my life and allow it to conquer me. Lady once came to Billy Sunday and said, hey, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up and then it's all over. And preacher Billy Sunday said, well, so does a shotgun, but look at the damage it leaves behind. Fits of rage, giving vent to sinful anger, destroys marriages and families and friendships. It divides churches, does irreparable damage to your testimony. Do you realize you can take years building your testimony and in a fit of rage lose everything you've built before people that you work with or in your family? Because whether we want to admit that it's wrong or not, everybody looking on the outside knows it's not right. Isn't that right? Isn't that true? How many times have we vented our anger only later to regret it? And then become angry at ourselves for ever getting angry in the first place. Well, preacher, you know, I have a temper and that's just the way I am. Well, that may be the way you are, but you have no excuse as a Christian to remain that way. C.H. Spurgeon said, I have no more right to allow a bad temper to dwell in me than I have to allow the devil himself to dwell in me. Friend, we don't have any excuse for allowing sinful anger to continually vent itself out of our lives. And you know what? We're all tempted at times, aren't we? Just stay with me for a moment. Let me illustrate. I've given this illustration many times because it's aggravation for me. See, I obey things most of the time, especially directional arrows in parking lots. How many know what I'm talking about? It just happened to me Friday night. I took Lori, she was a couple places she needed to go, exchange some things and shop just a little bit. And since I've had this disease, it's given me a really good excuse because it doesn't take me long to drop. And so I drop her off. And I've already shopped till I've dropped. Does that make sense? And I stay in the car. So I dropped her off, and I'm getting ready to park, and I'm following the directional arrows. And, you know, you can also tell by the way the cars are parked, you know, that you have to go that way to get into the parking space. Everybody with me this morning, or am I losing anybody? Okay. All right. Everybody's with me. So I'm pulling in. I'm trying to do my best to obey, okay? Well, then there's a car coming down because they want to get in a parking space right up there in front of me, you know, because they want to get in that thing first, and they're coming the other way, all right? And as you're coming your way, and you know the arrow is saying that you're right. And they're coming the other way, and you get close to one another, and they give you one of those emojis that you saw on the screen with them looks. Well, I don't know about you, but there's something wells up in me because I've got a flesh. Y'all look at me like you don't have one of those. That somehow or another that you know, you missed out on that. Well, you know, there's something in me that wants to go, hey, buddy. There is. You see, in King or certain places, I can't do that. Now, you might can, I can't. My picture's on everything. That means if I raise my fist or beep at a car, they might visit our church the next week and I'm in trouble. All right, so it's not even fair, okay? It's not even fair. But they're coming one way, I'm going the other. And you know what? There's something start welling up inside of you. I hate traffic. Okay? I hate getting... Well, and by the way, let me finish that story. They did get the parking space, and that's okay. I'm all right with that. You know what I'm saying? But what I was trying to get at is there's something that just wells up inside of you. You're tempted to become angry, aren't you? You're right. Sure. And they're looking at you like it's your fault, and hey, I'm obeying the rules. It's not my fault. Y'all think I'm bitter about that, don't you? Well, I'm not. I'm not bitter about it. All right? But the truth is that all of us are tempted at some point or another to give vent to our anger. And when we do, friend, it doesn't bring about good results. And if we allow that to go undealt with in our lives, it builds up a stronghold in our lives, and we become an angry human being. And it does not honor our God. And it breaks down the relationships of life. But not only does it gladden the devil, I want you to notice, secondly, it grieves the Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 30 of Ephesians chapter 4. Would you look down there? Verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. That word grieve is a love word. It means to cause pain or sorrow. Do you know that when we allow the flaring outbursts of our temper, or we internalize our anger and we become bitter and clamorous and injurious and evil speaking? And by the way, you can have evil speaking and never let it be audible. You can just say it in your heart. Every time we do that, it grieves the Spirit of God who lives inside of us. It causes Him pain because He wants more for us than what we're doing. Amen. That's why James 1:20 says, "The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Look back, if you would, in James chapter 1 and verse number 20. It grieves our God. It breaks His heart when we allow sinful anger to give vent in our lives and become a stronghold in our lives. And the Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 30, verse 20, if you'll look there, I'm sorry. He says in verse 19, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Why? "For the wrath of man, the anger of man, worketh not the righteousness of God." Our anger hinders what God wants to do in our lives. It defeats His purposes. It stops the flow of His blessings. It does. Now, I'm going to deal with the context in the next message, because really the context of this is people that get angry at God for what He says to them in His Word. It does. You know, people get mad at God because God says that something's wrong in their life. And I'll deal with that in the next message. But our anger hinders what God wants to do. Our God wants to do so much in us. But when we are an angry person and we give vent to our anger, it defeats God's purposes. Our sin and our sin of anger hurts the heart of a holy God, because it keeps Him from accomplishing what He wants to accomplish in our lives individually, in our marriages, our families, our relationships out in the world, our churches. God's saying, listen, whenever you give vent to anger, it's not going to end well in your life. It's not. So we've learned the description of it. And you know what? All of us fit into the category, don't we? Somewhere down through there, we all match it. Yeah, I'm a blower-upper. Yeah, I'm a clamor-upper. I've given vent to injurious speech. You know, preacher, I do want her to feel what I felt. And God said, that's not right as a Christian. That shouldn't reside in my heart. Amen. I shouldn't allow that to remain there. You know what? There's sometimes we come home spoiling for a fight. And you're just waiting for that husband or wife to push the button. And by the way, if they don't push it, you'll push it for them. Won't we? And we think, well, we need a good cleansing fight. There's no such thing as a good cleansing fight. That's right. Because there's always scars that are left behind. So God says, let me give you some truth about delivering yourself from sinful anger. Let's look at verse number 19. It gives us three principles, and I want you to get them before we're done. Look at verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren..." You know, He's talking to believers here. Beloved brethren. He's saying, listen, I love you, and I want you to listen close to what I'm trying to share with you. "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Well, preacher, I have a hard time controlling my temper. It gets the best of me. Well, you know what? You can control your temper, and whether you realize it or not, we do. We do. Let me give you an illustration. Here's a husband and wife that they've had a rough Sunday morning, okay? Probably, I can describe some of us on a Sunday morning from time to time, okay? I had little children one time too. And you know how it is trying to get the kids out the door. You're fighting everything, husband and wife, you know. They're at each other's throats trying to get to church on time. And they're arguing on the way to church and all that. And they're just rah, 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 back and forth. And then you get right out here on Main Street. And you're ready to pull into the parking lot. Hush. How are you today? Oh, we're fine. Fine. Wonderful. It's great. You know? It's good. Everything's wonderful. Come through church, you know? Everything's just wonderful. And then you get in your car, and everything's still wonderful till you turn back on Main Street, and you get a little bit down the road, and then you pick up where you left off. And you know what you did? You just controlled your anger for 2 hours. Or you're at home screaming at the top of your lungs, and we're acting like we're going to kill each other, and the phone rings. And we pick up and say, in his soft, sweet voice, "Hello? Can I help you?" You see, it's not that we can't tame our temper. If we're honest, there's just times we don't want to. And here's what God says to the situation. Tune in to this. Be swift to hear. Be quick to listen. Get all the facts before you get mad about it. How often do we get mad over something before we hear the whole story, before we understand the situation? Proverbs 18:13, the Bible said, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is a folly and a shame unto him." And you know what? When our kids or maybe it's our spouse or somebody begin to tell us and anger begins to well up in us and we ain't even heard it all and we're already mad. God said, you're not tuned into the situation. Learn to hear the person out. Get all the facts. Listen to the whole story. Tune in. And you know what? The truth is that we tune them out and we get mad anyway. Isn't that right? And we don't even know what we're mad about yet because we haven't heard it all. We just know we need to be mad. God said you need to tune to the situation. You need to listen and you need to hear all the facts and let them finish before you dive on something in a fit of anger. Number two, get this. Tone down your words. Tune into the situation. Tone down your words. You know, it's amazing how we can raise our blood pressure. I have all kinds of illustrations because I've done it. I don't know about you, but one of my most hated places is Silas Creek Parkway during rush hour. How many of you hate that? Okay. I need to get places. I mean, I'm a busy person. I need to get places. Okay. My wife will tell you. Okay? Before I got sick, if somebody wrecked up ahead of me, I was mad at them. Because I wanted to get there on time. I hate to be late. Doctor appointment, dentist appointment, whatever it is. Traffic irritates me. Okay? It does. But I think the Holy Spirit lets me get in traffic because He's trying to work on me. Okay? And stoplight. And you know what? Stoplights will be green for everybody but me. I'll get right up to it and boom, it turns. My wife's about to fall on the floor laughing up here because she knows I'm telling the truth. And I just get bent out of shape about this stuff. I did. I do. And you know, and I'm all you know, I'm all bent out of shape. My blood pressure, my veins are popping out. And I'm aggravated. Choir, y'all with me? And you know what? There's not a thing I can do about it. I can't go up there and fix the wreck. I can't fix the stoplight. I can't fix the traffic jam. I can't fix any of that. But I'm mad. And guess who's hurting in all that traffic? Me. Since I had this disease, God's worked on me in a lot of different ways. And one of them was the other day we were going on 52. I had a doctor's appointment. And I looked at my wife because I wanted to get mad. And I said, you know what? God knows what time I need to get there. And He'll get me there if He wants me there on time. And if not, it'll be okay because I can't control it. You know what God was doing? He was helping me to tone down. Does God need to help you tone down? Amen. To be slow to speak? Proverbs 15:1, let me help you understand that a little better. The Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. We fly off the handle, we speak too quickly, we say harsh things, hurtful things, hateful things. It's like throwing gas on a fire. And by the way, you don't even have to verbalize it necessarily. Sometimes it's just the facial expressions and the outward way in which we say it. All right? Are you mad? No, I'm not mad. Well, yes, you are. You know you are. We lied about it. We're mad, we know it, because our tone of voice just said we was. So we just lied because we're mad. Sometimes, you don't have to say anything, just slam the door. Throw the book. Boy, they must be mad. We verbalize it in so many ways, don't we? God said, tone down. It's estimated in Leadership Magazine that 90% of the friction of daily life is caused by the wrong tone of voice. Well, preacher, I just got to give them a piece of my mind. Well, you may not be able to afford to do that. Someone said, speak when you're angry, and you will most likely give the best speech of your life that you'll later regret. Proverbs 29:11, God said, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. There's some words just not worth saying. Do you know that? Swallowing angry words is much better than having to eat them. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? There's some things just aren't worth talking about. There's some things that are not worth saying. And God said, listen, what you need to do is tune into the situation, and then a soft answer turns away wrath. You need to tone down your words. If I get elevated and we start getting elevated in our voices and the decibels start going up, do you know what happens? It triggers something in the sinful nature of the other person that I'm angry with. You know what? They begin to go up. You know, next thing you know, we're moving up the decibels of our anger and with that, the decibels of our voice, and suddenly it is a loud fight of words, of screaming and yelling and hollering. And God said, that doesn't work the righteousness of God. That doesn't accomplish anything. Anybody's life. Tone down. You know what that'll work with your kids too? Your teenagers? If every time you deal with your teenagers, you yell at them, do you know they got a sinful nature that the moment you start yelling, they start rebelling? They do. Because we're triggering something in their sinful nature. And if you think that your sinful nature, even though you may be right, you think your sinful nature is going to subdue their sinful nature, you're wrong. It just justifies in their minds why they're mad at you. And justifies in their minds, although it's wrong, their own rebellion. That's why we can be angry to deal with an issue in the lives of our children, but we can deal with it in a right tone of voice. We can. Amen. Honey, you know that's not right. Son, you know your mama told you to take the garbage out the last three times, and I just want you to know, I'm not going to tell you again. What do you do with that? Because you didn't give them an excuse to come back. You didn't give them an excuse to rebel. They knew they were wrong, and how you handled it was in a godly manner with the right tone of voice that immediately you put them on the defensive. See, God's principles work everywhere. See, we think if we yell at our boss, we just got a little back of what was ours. Yet when we came to our boss with the right attitude and the right spirit and the right tone and dealt with the issue, what's the boss going to do with it? Because I had a right spirit about it and a right tone of voice. You say, well, they didn't know how mad I was. That's not what's important. What's important is not that we got mad. It's important is how we expressed it after we got mad and how we dealt with it. That's what was important. Let me give you the last thing and I'm done. I knew this would be a quiet message. Because you know what? God's just sort of hitting us where we live, isn't He? That's right. Sweeten up your spirit. Look what He says. He says in verse number 19, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath to become angry. God said, don't be fast to become angry. Don't be quick-tempered. Don't let that be your first emotion. Be slow to become angry. Do you realize that's a fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, on down the line. You know what one of the aspects of the Spirit's fruit is? It's long-suffering, of being long-tempered. It's the opposite of being short-tempered. It's having a long fuse rather than a short fuse. Wrath, on the other hand, is a work of the flesh. And you see this matter of dealing with our temper and taming our temper depends on who's in control, whether it's me or the Holy Spirit. And I can promise you, every time that I give in and give vent to one of the descriptions of sinful anger, the Holy Spirit of God is not in control. I am. I'm not giving Him room to work. Proverbs 25:28 said, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Just as a city with no walls is easy prey to the enemy, so a man or a woman or a teenager that has no control over their spirit is vulnerable and falls victim to their own passionate anger and rage. Proverbs 16:33, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth or conquereth his spirit than he that taketh a city. You know, Alexander the Great, one of the great conquerors, they call him Alexander the Great, he conquered the world before he was 32 years of age. You know what? He wept. He came and he conquered the known world by the time he was 32. And then after he had conquered the last group of enemies or what he considered his enemy or what he was going to conquer, he wept because there were no more kingdoms to conquer. But you know what he never could conquer? Was himself. And in a fit of rage, Alexander the Great took a spear from one of his guards that was there to protect him. And he took that spear and he thrust it into the heart of his own best friend. And it haunted him for the rest of his life. See, Alexander the Great could conquer the world, but he couldn't conquer himself. And if we don't get serious about this thing of taming our temper, it's going to rob us of relationships, it's going to fill us with regret, and it'll haunt us the rest of our lives. Or you know what we'll do? We will secretly justify why we're bitter and why we're angry and why we're the way we are. And God said, you know what? There's no excuse for that. That may be how sin made you, but that's not how I'm going to make you. So why don't we get it right? By first of all, getting right with the Lord and admitting what God's telling us, that how I am is not right. Whether I'm a clamber-up or whether I'm a blower-up or whether I've been guilty of malice or bitterness or unforgiveness. You say, there's no excuse to remain bitter. You say, preacher, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how they hurt me. Can I remind you what you did to Jesus before you got saved? And what you've done to Jesus after you've been saved? Do you know nobody will ever do to me choir more than what I've done to Jesus Christ? And the Bible says, be therefore tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And friend, if you're ever going to get that out of your life, you've got to learn to forgive others even when they don't ask for it. You want your marriage to work? Then you forgive even though the spouse doesn't ask for it. When's it my turn to say, I'm sorry, preacher? It's always my turn. See, instead, we let the house burn down and stay mad at each other. Because we don't want to give in and tell them I'm sorry. Because if I say I'm sorry, we lost. Or I lost. No, the reality is both of you are losing. You ought to be running into each other, telling each other you're sorry and you've sinned. And you shouldn't have that kind of attitude towards one another. And that's what we ought to be doing. Amen. The defilement caused by anger is to be confessed. And the damage caused by anger is to be corrected. So we need to get right with the Lord. We need to admit we've got a problem. We need to admit that we've let sin run rampant in our lives. We need to admit that we've excused sin as that's just the way I am, or I've gotten accustomed to it, or I've let a stronghold in the devil have a foothold in my life, and it's breaking down my spiritual relationships and my relationships with other people. I need to get it right. I need to learn to obey God's Word by tuning into the situation and getting all the facts before I get angry and blow my stack. I need to tone down my words and learn to obey the Bible principles and precepts that a soft answer turneth away wrath, and it's okay that I don't have to yell at everything. And the third thing, that I can sweeten up my spirit and I don't have to be sour in life. I can have a sweet spirit towards others, and that doesn't make me weak. That doesn't make me little or less than anyone else. If anything, you just learn to conquer a city and a stronghold in your life so that you can be the person that God wants you to be and He wants me to be. You see, it's not that we're not good sermon listeners. The truth is, most of the time, and James is going to deal with this, we're not good sermon doers. And that's why he's going to say in verse number 22 of our text, will you look down there? But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. A good message isn't going to change your life. Obeying God's Word will change your life. And for us to come to grips with what we are and how we are and say, Father, you're right, I'm wrong. I've sinned against you. Help me to do right as I yield myself to you and to the Spirit of God to deal with my temper and admit that I've got this issue and to bring it under your control so you can help me to take the moment and stop before I become angry and tune into the situation at hand and really understand what's going on and hear someone out and tone down, bring my decibel level down and learn that a soft answer turneth away wrath and then to sweeten up my spirit so that I'm not a sour Christian. And you know what's going to happen? Suddenly, you're going to move toward maturity in your life in a way that you never have before. Now, you know what? Everything I preached this morning is true, isn't it? But you'll never conquer your spirit if you're not a Christian. Now, you know what? You can take all the anger management courses you want to take. The world has all kinds of things. Go beat up a pillow. Well, you're still mad. Because you've internalized it, and that pillow's whoever you're mad at, and you're just beating them up. But instead of beating them up, you're beating up the pillow. Isn't that true? Sure it is. Absolutely. I got all kinds of little techniques. But you know what you're still doing? You're still giving vent to anger. Because the world doesn't know how to handle anger. They think you've got to let it out. That's not what God says. God says you've got to deal with it. You've got to deal with it. And friend, when Jesus Christ comes into your heart and life, when you've realized you were a sinner, that Jesus died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. 3 days later, He came back from the dead. He rose again. And He's in heaven saying, whosoever will, let him come to me and be saved. Friend, the moment He forgives you of your sin and saves you, you know what else happened? The Spirit of God comes inside of you, and He remakes you into a new creature. And you don't have to be what you used to be. You don't have to be an angry man. You don't have to be an angry woman. You don't have to be an angry teenager. You can be different in Jesus Christ. But here's the sad fact of it is that probably the majority of people sitting in this room this morning is saved by the grace of God. Heaven's your home. You know it is, but you know what? Deep down inside, you're still an angry person. You're a bitter person. You're a clamorous person. You're an evil-speaking person. And God didn't save you to stay that way. And what we need to do is come to grips with it today and say, God, help me to be what You want me to be rather than what I've become. And to stay like I am. Let's bow our heads in prayer.